flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Annie Heilbrun from Annie and Elston. Thanks for downloading and listening to Annie and Elston. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. We're also live weekdays on YouTube. And of course, you can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com, get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Annie and Elston back with you. Hour number two, coming to you live on 97.3 FM radio.
They got the Tritons winning every game but one to finish out the year.
And that one would be Saturday?
Would be Saturday, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's... It's just basically, it's kind of like the CalPREPS rating system that I talk about in high school, where it's like, if your rating is higher, you're going to naturally just be picked to win. So, like,
yeah.
Irvine's RPI is 24.
Yeah.
So, right. They're obviously, like, and then they basically just take what your RPI is, what their RPI is, kind of subtract the difference, and that's kind of what the spread is.
So, was it 9 games left? They're picked to go 8-1?
Yes. And they're not even, like, none of the games are really close.
But put them at 26-5 if that was the case.
I think that is going to be the case. I mean, if they can make it through Riverside on Thursday, which is at home, again, quad 2 game because it's a 62 RPI at home instead of being on the road, which would be a quad 1 game, like Irvine is, so that'd be a good deal for the Tritons. But after that, I mean, Cal State Bakersfield, 245 in the RPI, Davis, 152, Cal Poly, 214, Hawaii, 206, Northridge, 137, Fullerton, 308, Long Beach State, 291, UC Davis, again, 152.
Who's Northridge again?
Oh, yeah. Northridge, Cal State.
CSUN?
Oh, CSUN, that's
Thank
right.
You.
CSUN.
Thank you. Want
to upset
CSUN,
all the,
thanks you.
All the CSUN alums. That all despise the fact that they're called CSUN.
They're going to send you emails now.
You know what? CSUN, if you want to be called CSUN, get your RPI out of the 137 spot.
Yeah.
And be at least top 100 before we can consider you CSUN. Until then, you're Northridge.
Yeah, John Fisher wants them to be called CSUN.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no, we're calling you Sacramento and we're calling you Northridge. We're just going to abandon those pretenses and move forward. Okay, speaking of moving forward, we move forward into our baseball hour here. We almost always talk baseball in the 11 a.m. hour on Annie and Elston. And once the Padres season begins, the deep dive hour returns.
Yes.
And we will be diving deep, talking Padres, 11 a.m. hour every day because we can. And we proved that we could last year. Proof of concept. We did it. Okay. Right now.
We're pretty close to that mark, huh?
It's getting closer all the
so
time.
Close.
Getting closer all the time. I think I saw yesterday. I think today's 50 days to opening.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think today is 50 days to opening day. Because I think I saw yesterday 51. So.
Less than 100 days to spring ball for high school football.
You guys. You guys.
I'll have the countdown for opening for
Jeff
for
has
kickoff in the
52
fall
days
soon.
In the chat.
52? Okay. Maybe I saw 53.
Fight it,
I don't
fight
know.
It out.
I believe Jeff.
Your calendar
I'm
ripping.
Gassed. I believe Jeff.
What's Gemini say, Craig? What'd you
ask? Yeah. I could go ask Gemini. I could ask Apple Intelligence if I wanted to as well. Well,
semantics,
let's see what happens.
Semantics.
Hey, Siri. How many days until opening day in Major League Baseball?
Great radio.
Do you want me to awesome. Use ChatGPT to answer that? Yes, I do.
Just give me the answer, Siri.
I know, seriously. Why just do we have to work answer. With ChatGPT? Like, can't you just tell me?
What kind of weird partnership is this?
I agree. Well, anyways, 52 days. 52 days.
All right. 50, oh,
good job,
right.
Jeff. Jeff's
can you say it.
It
for me in an Australian accent, please?
Okay. Let's
no?
Get
okay.
In.
Sorry. Apparently not. Apparently not. Okay.
You're pushing your luck there, buddy.
All
I came close. But hands were up at the right time, though. Yep. Maintain my verticality.
Yep.
No foul. Okay, here's Jim Bowden on foul territory on possible paths forward for our beloved A.J. Preller
all right, Jim.
In the next month. Look at that. What happened?
What happened, Jim?
What is that hairdo?
No.
Annie, how would you describe that hairdo?
It reminds me of like a bowl cut.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you know.
Jim has seen better days, my guy.
What's the one where is it? I don't. This is not even me trying to be mean. Dumb and Dumber. It's Jim Carrey from Dumb
yeah.
and Dumber. You
oh,
know when
wow.
when he's got no. Just like the bowl cut, the way
just
that it's
the, well, he kind of is giving the look right now too. So.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's rough. Well, let's hear what bowl cut's got to say.
All right. Here we go.
Well, it's definitely an ownership issue. There's no money, and they're projected to make significant losses. And so AJ has no money to work with. That's why he was hoping to be able to get Sasaki, even though he had a pre-cut deal with the Dodgers, apparently. He was hoping to get Sasaki and hoping that wasn't the case because he put Sasaki with King and Cease and Darvish, and you can still win, right? Now you didn't get Sasaki. You got Musgrove that's going to be out for the year. And so now he's looking at the team, realizing his best shot for the playoffs is a wild card spot, which he has a chance to, but no Profar, no Kim, as you mentioned, and no pathway to add anybody that's making any money because your orders are to cut payroll, not to add payroll. And then you've got the double conundrum in the fact that, okay, Lewis Arise is a free agent, Dylan Cease is a free agent. So now what are you going to do? So now you got to go to the market and say, okay, I can't extend either one. I probably with a year out, instead of waiting to the trade deadline, should see what I can get now. You go through that process, and you know, as the Brewers learned a year ago with Corbin Burns, I mean, the price is Joey Ortiz and DL Hall, and that's best case scenario. That's all you're getting. You know, it's not like you're trading Juan Soto. So, you know, the trade value is not what it is. So then you say, well, what about Michael King? Well, you get King, you've got more control with him. Does that get it? So I think the Padres are looking at it two ways. Number one, we could go for it, try to get a wild card berth. If it doesn't work, we can make trades at the trade deadline to retool, or let's see if we can't get six or seven prospects for three of our better players now and kind of start this rebuild now, because financially it's not going to get any better. They've also gone down the path of saying, hey, we'll trade one of our top prospects with Xander Bogaerts if you take Bogaerts' contract. So they're trying to find other ways also to reduce payroll to try to afford to do other things. But you know, they put themselves in a tough corner. And until the ownership either provides more resources or gets settled, I don't see the Padres' situation in the front office changing until that changes.
What a delightfully positive message from Jim Bowden today.
I don't understand a lot of things on this, but here's what I don't understand from a standpoint of national media, right? And that's and maybe I'm naive on this, but I don't get the whole, like, well, they can't afford to stay at this level anymore with, like, the, and they list the number, like the 200-something million dollars. Well, if everybody's payroll continues to go up and the cost of every player continues to go up, does that mean the Padres won't be able to fill the team in 10 years?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just, it's the dumbest argument I've ever heard. I mean, everybody's salary is going up. Everybody's payroll is going up. But now all of a sudden we're only going to have three teams that can afford to build a team? Like, what are we talking about here? I don't understand that logic. I don't get that. Like, oh, the Padres have never spent $250 million before, so there's no way they can ever do this in the future. But if the cost of doing business for Jurickson and Profar is like $15 million, how are you going to fill out a roster?
What was that part about projected to have major losses this year? That's something that I have not
I haven't heard
directly in any, or even indirectly in any way, shape, or form. The club has their highest season ticket commitment ever. At least that's what they say, that they're sold out on season tickets. They've got the highest ticket revenue coming back by definition in the history of the club because the prices went up again, not as much as they did previous years, but they did go up. Now, the television situation, we know, but isn't that baked in at this point, 3 years in?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things to kind of dissect here. And first of all, Jim Bowden, no disrespect to him, but he's been wrong before about
many,
and that happens. But
many times,
including about the Padres. And so, look, this is what he's hearing. He's perfectly entitled to talk about what he's hearing or what he thinks. And that's the whole point of that podcast or whatever he's doing. But I don't know. The money thing is interesting because on the one hand, you have reports coming out that MLB has record-breaking profits now. $12.1 billion or whatever. Like, MLB is making more money than it ever has in the history of Major League Baseball, which would point to the health of the product, I guess, right, if that's what you're going with.
Unless it's just three teams, I guess.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And the Padres thing is interesting because depending on who you talk to, they're either like the Cubs got GM said, which is we're just breaking even, or the ticket gate money doesn't realize as much money as people think, or, you know, the revenues aren't as high as people think. So we're either just breaking even. We're still maybe cleaning up some of the problems of the past. And I do want to point out, because I was asked a question about this a few days ago and I got a little bit more clarity. Like, when they had to pay that $50 million and then that $100 million eventually in 2023, when they were up against that debt ratio, which ended up being something that they had to, like, you know, figure and fix for 2024, they did that. And from my understanding, they're out of, like, the trouble. They're out of, like, the trouble zone of, like, the debt ratio. So I was asked, well, why can't they just go spend more money? Why can't they run? Why can't they go get more credit? Why can't they go spend more debt calls? And the answer I was kind of given was, literally, they can do whatever they want. It's their team. They can do whatever they want. But they weren't supposed to kind of do that in the first place because they didn't have the money to really pay for it. So it wouldn't really be smart of them to go out there and ask for a bunch of capital calls, which would just make your owners upset because now they're losing on their investment that they initially made, which they will do capital calls, but not so many, right? And then B, if you go run up the debt again, it's akin to, well, let's go run up the credit card. You're going to get slapped again. Most likely, you're going to have to bring it back down. So it's not like you can't do those things. And maybe there would be a time where they say, hey, we're in a good position where we want to go do that right now. It's probably too close to it happening a few years ago. I think MLB would frown upon it like they did then. Some of those things, I think, while they, like, literally can happen, should they happen, is a different story. But I can understand it, again, from the fans' perspective, when you don't have a look into the books, like, and none of us have that. I can understand it from a fan's perspective. And from us sitting right here, you're sold out. You have the third highest fan attendance in all of baseball. You know, the cost of that has gone up. The cost of concessions has gone up. People are really behind the team. They're supporting in various numbers of ways. So what's the problem? And I can understand that as well. And I mean, that's just the answers that we get. And I don't really know how to marry the two much better.
Yeah, that's right. And the here's another part of that. And this is the part that I will take to heart more closely, which is that when you are in an ownership dispute, what does that mean by definition? It means that we don't know, and they don't know, the parties involved do not know for sure 2 years from now who's going to be in control of the San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
And because of that, if you don't know 2, 3, 4, 5, if you don't know in that 5 year, that 1 to 5 year window, if you don't know for sure who's in control, where's the money coming from? What's the hierarchy? What's the long-term plan? It's very difficult to take your books and saddle them with further commitments.
Right.
And that's what leads me to Arise, Cease, King.
Yes. And just really quickly on the TV deals, You know, they did get 80% backstopped their first year. So they got 80%. MLB said, we're going to pay you 80% of the money you normally make on your TV deal. So that helped. They were paid by Bally's last year. The reports said something like $78 million. The UT reported that they were told it would be more around like $20 million or $17 million. I don't know what that number is, but they did get help on their finances from the TV contract last year. This year is, I think, a year that you're not really sure if they're getting any outside, any extra help from MLB. I think MLB had floated around for a while that the CBT money could go to teams that were under the MLB media umbrella, but I don't know if that's new teams or teams that currently exist. Go back and read Bill Shaken. He was, he writes for the LA Times, but he came down to FanFest to write about this in the context of the Frank McCourt Dodgers era, which he talks about the spending got paralyzed and Frank McCourt came out and said, we are not going to sell this team. There's no way this team is not going to disappear from us. We're not going to lose this and that. But as time went on and the battle went on, he ended up losing the team and they ended up getting into trouble financially and they get, you know, so you can't predict really how any of this is going to go.
That is correct. So let's take a quick timeout. Still to come in the hour, we're going to replay our Trevor Hoffman interview from FanFest, but I think we can put that in the longer third segment. So let's come back. Let's talk more about some of the things discussed in this clip with Bowden. We've also got John Morosi still to come in our baseball hour here. Annie and Elston, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed on 97.3 The Fan. So while you're listening, you can see what you missed and click the listen on demand. If you missed a guest, a feature, or something crazy that happened from earlier, we've got you covered. Download the free Odyssey app, search 97.3 The Fan, and tap earlier today to get started. Annie and Elston back with you. Still kind of going through and click through on foul territory. And
Do you believe the Xander stuff?
That's where I wanted to go next. That's where I wanted to go next.
I don't.
I don't either.
I can't imagine them doing that.
There's nothing that I would like less. I don't know about nothing. There are very few things I would like a Tatis trade less. There are very few things I would like less.
After this week, I do not speak that into existence.
Yeah. Then attaching Ethan Salas to Xander Bogaerts in a trade where you get nothing back. And all you have done is grimly cut ties with Bogaerts, released yourself $25 million a year of financial flexibility, quote unquote flexibility, for 9 years and lost the entire career of Ethan Salas. For what?
The only way I'd like that is if you just think that Ethan Salas is going to be really bad.
That's where I was going to go with it. They could be trying to move Xanders or another big contract that they have. You would have to, just like he said there, and I will give Jim that, you would have to put him together with someone that another team really, really wants, a big league prospect like Ethan Salas or Leo Dallas DeVries. And then you'd probably have to pay half his contract or something like that. You'd have to pay some of his contract.
You're still going to have to pay him something.
Or take something back.
You could bring in some financial flexibility by that, perhaps. The only way I could see that happening is, A, well, you'd have to obviously have another team that was willing to take that on. But, B, you'd have to think that Ethan Salas, you'd have to know somewhere deep down that maybe your belief in one of those prospects is not as high as it once was.
The market changes every year. And three off-seasons ago, when Xander Bogaerts was signed, the deal seemed ridiculously large. Like, wow, that's a big overpay for Xander Bogaerts. $25 million a year. Now, the 11 years, that's the whole part of it, right? But $25 million a year. Well, Corbin Burnes now gets $35 million a year. Gerrit Cole gets $35 million a year. Jack Flaherty just signed in Detroit. He makes $20 million this year, right? So if you were to sign Michael King, you're probably signing him around $25 million a year, or maybe you get a little discount if you start earlier along the way. But my point is, if you got rid of Xander Bogaerts, that doesn't mean, well, now, look, the whole world's open for us. We can do anything. It's one player, not even top-of-market player, that you could afford if you're reinvesting the money, which in our current circumstance, I don't know that we can necessarily trust the Padres to go dollar for dollar reinvesting the money that they recoup in a trade. So to me, trade one of your top prospects plus Xander to save money is the way to be bad, or at the very best, mediocre, for years to come.
Yeah, I don't like this deal. I don't like the idea of this deal either. And he does have a full no trade. I see that in the chat. Now, he can waive that if he chooses, if there is a team that he would feel okay going to. But I personally have a hard time seeing this one happen. I guess I wouldn't be completely shocked if they did something like this. But if they were able to make something like this happen, I would definitely be surprised. But I don't think that this one is going to happen.
Let's logically dissect this for a second. All right, he gets $25 million a year, right? What team in this planet is going to pay a full $25 million per year for the next whatever years? Is there a single
team? 9 years.
For the next 9 years. Is there a single team in Major League Baseball that will pay for his entire contract?
Not at value.
No. You're going to have to eat some of that.
Right.
Right.
Or as Craig said, take something else on where you're basically going to... I think best case scenario if you were to trade this guy, half? You offload half of his contract? Is that best case?
Yes.
I would think that's best case. Pay half at least.
So you're looking at, what is that, like 13? What is half 25?
Like 13
million?
Something?
13? Yeah. 12.5? 12.5?
Yeah. Sounds right.
All right. So you still have to pay 12.5. So now you're basically paying the Hosmer thing for the next 9 years, mm-hmm. right? And you're freeing up $12.5 million. For $12.5 million, I'd rather just pay to have Xander on the team. Than to pay for him to go away. It's not like he's worthless. I mean, it's not. And you're not saving $25 million. Like people just go like, well, you'd save $25 million. No, you're saving $12 million. And the $12 million, as Craig alluded to, you can't even get Jurickson Profar for $12 million a year.
I mean,
who are you getting? Yeah. So I'd rather just have Xander on the team. And the way these contracts are going, I don't think he's ever going to play up to that contract. I hope he does, even like 3-4 years down the road. But the way these are going right now, I mean, $25 million could be what Jurickson, like if Jurickson Profar went on the market, like let's just fast forward 3 or 4 years and it's the same situation with Profar. I mean, I could see Profar getting a deal like this if he went in at this, you know, as it is right now with his age, not future Jurickson, in a couple of years. So like a player like him, like in his 30s, getting a mid-level deal. I mean, this is probably a mid-level deal in about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So why try to like force all of this to save $12 million? It's not going to help. It's not helping you.
I'd like to resubmit for the audience and for the group. A different suggestion that I made in terms of Xander Bogaerts, and one that I think actually could be done and wouldn't wreck the team for years to come. And that's my problem for yours. Okay? It's Xander to Boston for Trevor Story. It's Xander to Boston for Trevor Story. And maybe you need to put in X amount of dollars that covers a certain portion of the final 6 years of Xander's deal. But Trevor Story is getting paid $22.5 million this year, $25 next year, $25 in 2027.
Then he is a club option you will never take.
Right. He is a shortstop. He is the same age. He's 32 years old. He's the same age. He's coming off of injury-riddled seasons. It hasn't worked in Boston, but he's their starting shortstop opening day if nothing changes. So it's not like he's a useless major league player, just like it's not like Xander Bogaerts is a useless major league player, but something that would allow the Padres to be off of that $25 million train in 3 years instead of 9 years. That's the type of thing that I could see. Both Xander would probably only go to Boston, right? And secondly, now I've made a deal that makes sense because they want to get rid of Story. They need to get rid of Story in order to put Xander at short. And then we would need a shortstop, and it would be Trevor Story coming back to the National League West. What if he rediscovers his bat? You've got a 25-homer shortstop. All of a sudden, you feel like you won the trade.
Yeah. I don't know if you'd only go to Boston, but I think he would consider Boston if he was going to waive his no trade. Obviously, the place that he has so much memories with and won two World Series with. Different organization, though, now. Differently run than when he was there. But still, I mean, he's got a lot of pride in that organization as well. I still don't like it. I know why you're doing it. And you can free up the financial flexibility after those 3 years. So it does make sense.
I'd rather keep Xander. Though. I don't think Boston would do that. I think you'd have to pay for three quarters of his contract to balance out the years.
Well, by definition, the first 3 years are a wash.
Right.
So you wouldn't be touching that. So now you're looking at the last 6 years, and that's $150 million.
And you'd probably split with them.
So maybe you're adding $75 million to... Maybe you are. Yeah. Maybe you are.
I just don't think you're going to. All the hoops you have to jump through to make this happen, I don't think the reward is enough.
Yeah.
I don't think
compared
you're
really, to maybe just Xander's good
again.
Exactly. I don't think the risk reward doesn't make any sense to me. The reward of an additional $12 million. I mean, at that point, I mean, if your entire organization is getting held up by $12 million. You got a lot of other problems on your hands, more than just Xander Bogaerts. And even though that contract is really hurting them right now, he hasn't turned himself into a player where it's like, this guy needs to go. He's the worst player in baseball. I mean, if he was playing like Anthony Rendon or something like that, all right, fine. Like, find a way to get rid of him, eat some of his money, and get. But he's not. I mean, he just hasn't lived up to the $25 million, and you're not going to get that $25 million off the books. You're only going to get about 12, and that's the best case scenario. I'd rather just keep him and have him just be a leader and see what he's got.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd rather do that. When you compare the two options, and fans don't understand that. They just think you can just get rid of this guy and you don't have to worry about his money anymore. But that's the best case scenario you're going to get. That doesn't outweigh him being on the team. I think he's more valuable on the team than paying him $12.5 million a year for the next 9 years to go away.
Now, the upside of Xander is really high, and it hasn't clicked completely yet in San Diego. You've seen flashes of it. I totally get that. But the upside of him is very high, and he has been a very good player. He's got to show that again, and he wants to, and hopefully this is the year for him. But by the way, a little piece of news coming out of FanFest that he will be playing shortstop, and Jake Cronenworth will be moving back to second base, and they all found that out, or Xander found what Mike Schilt said. So, coming in, knowing where you're going to be, not going to be asked to move positions your first day of spring training.
Don't mess with him. Let him just go be a pro.
He's fixed that shoulder. You know, that's healed completely, and we've heard how good Manny and Fernando Tatis Jr. feel after having those surgeries. Same with Xander. He had that big injury last year. So, hopeful that it's a different year, kind of year for him.
I think Adam makes a good comparison. He's not Javi Baez. I think I would be a little bit more inclined to listen to some of these deals. But then again, nobody would want him if he was Javi Baez. You'd be stuck with him anyway.
And if you did the who's going to have the better next 3 years, and you put Xander, Trevor Story, Javi Baez,
I think it's Sander.
I think Bogaerts wins that deal.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right? I mean, yeah, Bogaerts wins that survey. Now, I might be one of the few people who thinks there's a chance that Trevor Story comes back and hits 25, 30 home runs in a season. But
you need a change of scenery, too.
Yeah, but having said that, there's also a chance that Xander Bogaerts puts up a 5-war season this year. And if he does, then all of these discussions look dumb in hindsight. And that, again, just to kind of put a pin on it in the minute and a half left in this segment, that's why I can never get behind, and I've had plenty of smart people say this type of deal, the trade Salas with Bogaerts type deal. That's why I can never get behind it, because you have to count on two things in order for yourself to wrap your mind around that trade. One is that Bogaerts is an ever-declining asset that never returns value. So you're just getting out on a sinkhole before it keeps sinking. And I don't know you can really say that about Xander Bogaerts. Truthfully, one good year, you look like an idiot. And the second is, you have to count on Ethan Salas not being a top eight catcher in baseball in a couple of years.
Right.
And then that's one of the most valuable things that can exist for a team, is a catcher that hits, that's good behind the plate, that's affordable, that's young. Like, are
he's
you
a
kidding
unicorn.
Me?
We've talked about that with the catching position. By the way, we had this relatively same conversation last year with Jay Cronenworth.
Yes.
He started to play up to his contract. I mean,
and he had a nice 2-war season.
If he plays close, it doesn't have to be up to it. He just needs to play close, and it justifies how much he's making, especially with the way the contracts are increasing for everybody in baseball.
That's exactly it. In 4 or 5 years, Braden said it very well, Xander Bogaerts will be looking like a mid-level veteran exemption. $25 million for a mid-level veteran will be just a routine salary in big league baseball. And if you think that's crazy, I mean, it's not. Look where the numbers have gone in the NBA, where, you know, if you are a, you know, third guy off the bench, you know, solid rotation player, you're going to make $20, $25 million a year. You know, 3-4 year contract, and you're just going to get it, and no one's going to blink and go, oh my God, you're so overpaid.
You don't even look at other leagues. Just look at baseball. It's like mid-level pitchers are getting. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Ridiculous.
I mean, this is the rock in the hard spot that the Padres have kind of put themselves in. On the one hand, it's like, these are your players, again, we say it all the time, that can get you to the postseason and get you to win a World Series. And on the other hand, these are the players with very big, long-term contracts that cost a lot of money that you don't know how they're going to play out, right? In 2, 3, 5 years. That's not just for Xander. That's for all their long-term big contracts, right? So, I mean, it's kind of like how you look at it. Hopefully for the Padres, you know, they can have a year or two or three where most of those contracts are all trending up, right? Or they're maybe not MVP years. They don't have to be, like Braden said, they don't have to be the best years of their career, but they're close to what they were. And if you can get the majority of them go in at the same time, you know, for a little window, like, that's when you're really going to be at your best.
When we come back, we got the chance to talk to the Hall of Famer Trevor Hoffman at FanFest. Did you miss that interview? You'll hear it, plus some more trade chatter, John Morosi style. It's the Annie and Elston Baseball Hour rolling here, 11:34 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Saturday, y'all. It was a fun day. It was a fun day. Perfect timing for the roller skating jam called Saturdays from De La Soul to pop up. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Okay, let's just start there, and then we'll jump back into more trade chatter and whatnot. But on Saturday, Annie and Braden and I had the chance to be out there at Padres Fan Fest for 2 hours. And within that, the Padres brought along a couple of guests, brought them back-to-back. So didn't really get the chance to stretch out our legs and go deep dive with either one of these guys. We got about 7 minutes for each one of them, but that makes it perfect for replay on the old Annie and Elston show. So let's start with the first guy who turned up, still ravishingly handsome, post-retirement, still suntanned, hair still looks exactly right.
Blue eyes are bluing.
The blue steel look is still there. For the great Trevor Hoffman, we were so happy to get the opportunity to sit down and chat with Trevor, and we only had a few minutes, and at the end of this, one of his answers really, really stuck out to me. But ready to roll on this? Let's do it. Here's Trevor.
And that applause ain't for us, gang. That applause is for the Hall of Famer. Yes. Trevor Hoffman is joining us live in the booth. Trevor, it's always great to see you, my friend.
Greg, Annie, great to be with you guys as well, and along with a lot of fans out here at Section 114. FanFest is always awesome.
It's great. It's a good time. There's a great crowd out. It's a beautiful day. It's great.
Well, let's just start kind of right there, right? Anticipation, expectation. Padres have a great year in 2024. You can see from these fans today, everyone's fired to get back on the beam, get things rolling again. Where's your mind at?
I think this is kind of the opening of the door to spring training is when FanFest goes on. They get to see all the guys again in uniform to a degree with their jerseys, and they see it's around the corner. They can't wait to get to Peoria. And these guys are focused. They're ready to go. They know there's some unfinished business, and they want to take care of it this year.
We talk about momentum a lot sometimes, right, in baseball and from game to game. How much, if at all, does it translate from one year to the next year? And how could that show up if it does?
That's a great question. I think when you have a core group of guys, that momentum can stick with you and you can utilize it to your advantage. I think there's times when that momentum goes away a little bit because of an offseason and maybe a bad taste in your mouth at how things finished up. But either way, you kind of have to nurture that one way or the other. Recognize every season you should have every bit of anticipation of success and nothing but good things, and set your goals lofty and high and look to achieve them. But it's this time of year that, you know, spring brings the abundance of hope. And so we're not quite at spring yet. I know Groundhog Day's tomorrow, but I certainly feel like this year's team is capable of doing some great things as well.
You know, Trevor, last year's bullpen wound up being such a source of strength for the San Diego Padres. Bobby Fastball's obviously locking things down at the end, but then you saw the addition of Adam Scott, the emergence of Morejon, Estrada, just stepping into the limelight. How excited are you for the stable of arms that this group has coming back?
Yeah, no doubt. When you anchor to the back end, everybody kind of has a tendency to fall into place and line up the way they want. The beginning of the year, bullpen was a little shaky, and it took some guys like an Estrada to kind of get an idea what it looked like to be in the big leagues full-time, just coming over to Chicago. So I think the opportunity these guys have had, the innings they've been able to accrue over the last year or so, is only going to help moving forward. They have it in them. They have the ability to do it. The Stephen Kolek's, I remember a three-inning stint that he had late in the year that really helped give some guys some rest, allowed us to come back and win a ball game that wouldn't have happened without him. Those are things that he's going to pull upon this year to be more consistent and not just do it once a month, once a week, but do it every time out.
Yeah, let's talk bullpens a little bit. Bullpens are fascinating, Trevor. And what is something?
Bunch of creatures down there.
A bunch of creatures. It's always an eclectic group, and they have their own little world, right? I mean, you guys have your own little world in the bullpen. What's something that fans, media, whoever, the general public doesn't understand or maybe is misguided a little bit about what a reliever goes through the course of the season or what goes on in a bullpen?
Yeah, I think more than anything, it's everyone kind of knows they're in the same role. Like, you're not going to go out and have to start a game. You're not prepping for a start, but everyone's on call. And so I think everyone's aware of potentially what inning someone might be called upon. And so you start to pay attention to where the game's at the start. You go, okay, Tommy and Ricky and Johnny over here, they kind of need to get ready. So I can't be screwing around as much as I would like to, because these guys kind of have to get ready for the game. And likewise, if the innings pass them up where their kind of window is over to a degree, they don't want to like just relax and start having a good time when the rest of the guys might be up. And so it's a dynamic that everyone's feeding off of one another, but also pulling on the same rope.
Trev, I know we don't have a ton of time with you, but I just wanted to ask, I see all these amazing kids out here. Many of them never saw you pitch.
Right.
So a lot of them don't know, maybe, or maybe they've heard or their mom or dad have told them that you had the best changeup in the world while you were pitching. You had the best changeup in baseball. I'm just curious, today, 2025, who do you think has the best changeup in baseball?
Ooh, yeah, honestly, Robert Suarez has really been working on it. I want to see more of Robert throwing his changeup. I want to see Morejon take his changeup to the next level. It's a pitch that I think is timeless. You know, I think we all know about the box. We all know how hard it is to kind of throw it through that garden hose. The umpire, they tighten their zone. They know exactly where those borderlines are. The hitter's very comfortable with what that strike zone looks like. It's not like, oh, they're giving a little inch or two out there today, or they're working the inside or up. The changeup, kind of that front to back, is always going to be a deceptive pitch that's going to be effective in the big leagues. Guys need to take advantage of that. That's something that they can get good at. It doesn't matter spin rate. It's really trusting a grip and going out and utilizing it in a position that you want to. And so who's got the best changeup in the game right now? I couldn't tell you, but I like where Robert Suarez is at, and I think he needs to implement it a little bit more.
Probably still you if you get out there, right? Take the mound a little?
You know what? I was in minor league camp for fantasy camp, and the minor leaguers were out there. Isaiah Lowe was throwing a bullpen, and they had the track man on him. He threw it. We talked a little bit about grip. He goes, "This feels the worst a ball could ever feel in my hand." I go, "Trust it. Just throw it." He threw it. He wanted to know a number. The number to him was staggering. It was a spin rate of under 1,000. I don't think he'd thrown a changeup that had been anywhere near that. It was like 750. And it, to me, I didn't mean crap. It was just a number, right? I watched. I go, "That had good action." He heard the number and he went, "Wow." There was like this epiphany of the number and what I saw and sensed from a feel standpoint, what he felt, really kind of the synergy was unique. So
yeah.
It's interesting that the changeup from an analytics standpoint sounded a certain way for him, and I got to see him what it looked like.
And I would encourage everyone to read. AJ Casavell just did a piece again on how you developed your changeup and how it came off.
Don't go play beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball game and how the rest is history. Before we let you go, work as a special advisor for the Padres. Are you still going out to spring training and doing like Trevor time and meeting with pitchers? And can you tell us a little bit more about what you do throughout
the
season?
That's the idea. You know, honestly, to get around these guys in a more comfortable atmosphere, be approachable, be an opportunity to be accessible, mingle with the fans and interact when games are in the afternoon. There's nothing better than a family to cruise out to Peoria, take a couple games in over the weekend, enjoy the sunny weather, the warmth, and know that baseball is right around the corner.
Trevor Hoffman, always appreciate you, man. I know we got to keep you moving. You got a really busy schedule, but anytime we get a chance,
I really appreciate being with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thank you so much. There he is, the Hall of Famer, ladies and gentlemen. As good as he gets.
And there he went, signing autographs, kissing babies, taking pictures, and away he went.
He's the best. He's just awesome.
I love Trevor.
You get around him and you get to hear a few stories, and he just, you know, he's so real and authentic, and that's all you could ask for.
So there's times that you remember working in this business and being on the periphery of big league sports, being in the middle of big league sports. What that phrase band of brothers means and what it really means when you're way deep into an organization. I guarantee you that in a different situation, if I asked Trevor Hoffman the same question I asked him, he might have an answer as to who he thinks has the best changeup currently in Major League Baseball. But because that player might not be on the Padres, and Trevor is a Padre from top of his hair to the bottom of his sandals, and he's going to be at spring training working with these dudes, and he's an advisor to the organization, and he is a mentor to the players, he wasn't going to say a single non-Padre name when I asked him that question. Went Robert Suarez, Adrian Morahone, you know. Cease is building a changeup. King has a changeup. Like, yeah, but what about all the other pitchers in baseball? What about their changeups? No, he was going to talk about the Padres and pump up his guys. And I'm not saying that in any way negative. That is what it means. When you're in that deep, like, that's what it means to you. Like, you support your guys because they're your guys. And I actually am inspired kind of being around that, like, understanding. That's why you always hear us say during the season, like, trust me, these guys are on the plane. They believe in themselves. They're betting on themselves. They're backing themselves. They are not going, "Oh, I'm looking at the Dodgers and Ryan Brazier has a 1.8 ERA. We must be worse than them. Where's our ranking?" No, they go, "We kick their ass every time. We believe that we're going to kick their ass. And if we go out there and we lose, we believe tomorrow we're going to go out there and we're going to kick their ass because we think the guys that we have in this room are the best guys that we can have." And that's the mentality, Annie, you have to have.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't expect anything else from Trevor. I think that, you know, he's knee deep in looking at the guys on the team and supporting them and helping any way that he can. And the Trevor time thing that I was referring to at the end of the interview was something that he does at spring training when he sits down with relievers and goes over things and they get to ask him questions. I know he did it a few years ago. I'm not sure if he still does it, but he's got his hands in the organization just kind of being an assistant, working to support these guys however possible, however he can. And how cool it is if you're out at spring training to because he'll be like at the end of the day, he'll be outside, like just kind of hanging out with people and with players and media, whoever. And the ability to go up to him and talk to him and just have a conversation at any point for a lot of these pitchers or a lot of these players is second to none. I mean, that's a priceless thing. So really, really cool to have him on with our show, and just really cool to have him still around and part of the organization.
Yeah. You're talking to a Hall of Famer, you know? Yeah. It's just pretty dang cool to know that we've had the chance to cover, watch Trevor Hoffman from being a young man acquired via trade, to someone. If we had had longer time, I wanted to ask him, because he had a major, it wasn't Tommy John, but he had a major shoulder procedure in his career in the early 2000s that cost him almost an entire season, that cost him miles off of his fastball, that forced him to reevaluate physically, tactically, who he was as a pitcher in big league baseball, and kind of what he might have said to Joe Musgrove or might say to Joe Musgrove, being at a similar age to where Joe was having this procedure this year, Tommy John surgery.
Yeah. I mean, good question. I'm sure the two of them talk. And if you have a minute to go back, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard the story of Trevor's changeup, but AJ Cassavell recently did a piece on it and how he hurt himself playing beach volleyball. He lost velocity and he developed the changeup out of it. And the rest is history for him. And, you know, as a player, that's what you got to do. You meet so many players through the course of the years that they have some kind of surgery or they get some kind of injury, and it changes either their velocity or their mechanics or the feel of their arm. That's why you see so many players hesitant to have surgery, because they've heard it from other guys, like how it completely changes their release or changes the feel of their mechanics. But you adapt, and that's what Trevor did, and it ended up being something that was, you know, really good for his career. And I think that that's what the good ones do. They figure out ways to adapt and ways to still outsmart the hitters.
And he did, and he kept it going, and that arm speed never changed, whether it was the fastball, whether it was the changeup. The windup looked the same, the release looked the same, and that's how year after year after year you could see Trevor Hoffman be successful. But in particular, at the second stage of his career, we would always look and watch, is that a rookie up? Is that a player new to the National League that's up at the plate? Because those rookies stood no chance against Trevor. Veteran might know a couple of little ticks, a couple things. They might have strategies. They might be sitting on things on certain counts. Rookies would go up there and go, it's a fastball. Oh, no, it's not. It's a fastball. Oh, no, it's not. Just swing over the top of three straight changeups.
Yeah, and I love keeping it real in the chat. Says you got to reinvent yourself constantly, and that's exactly what it is. It's a good point.
Good stuff from Trevor Hoffman. If you missed our chat with Jackson Merrill, we'll play that for you coming up in the next hour. But we got a very busy 12 o'clock sports fix to get to. And just as it is our nature, other than just kind of alluding to it, we still haven't really talked or gotten into the biggest story in the sports world today, which is the trade that made everyone lose their minds. I mean, heck, there was a gigantic trade in the NBA yesterday. Sent Zach LaVine to Sacramento, sent De'Aaron Fox to team up with Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio. Like, things are happening. The deadline's coming up on Thursday. But Luka to the Lakers, are you kidding me? No one saw that coming. Not even Luka, not even AD, and not even LeBron, who got a text while he was out at dinner with his family. Oh, by the way, your whole team has changed, and your dear friend and clutch sports ally, Anthony Davis.
He's gone.
He's a Maverick now. Luke is coming. He'd like the ball, by the way. You don't mind, do you? 12 o'clock sports fix. All this and plenty more in our next hour on Annie and Elston.
Hey, it's Craig Elston from Annie and Elston. Just wanted to take a second to say thank you for downloading and listening to Annie and Elston. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening to us. Also, favorite us on the Odyssey app. Also, we're live weekdays on YouTube. And, of course, you can always listen live weekdays 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.